deliverance. Amen. Hey, so we got, in conclusion, Bob is speaking. So Bob's the conclusion. How many conclusion he has is up to him, right? So if he does more than three, walk out. Amen. So let me just quickly, most of you know the story, but those who are new don't know the story. Ron and Bob part our church forever, right? Mm-hmm. And then they moved to Texas. I think it was an error, but just kidding. But they moved to Texas, and then now they're living in Alabama. By the way, have you heard the news that you're about to get a coastal storm?
Yeah,
oh,
it's just
rain.
Raining.
Oh, so you're from Washington. Rain doesn't bother you, right? But first time I met Bob was in Fort Lewis.
Fort Lewis.
Yeah, I opened a jar of kimchi, and he came through and said, "What's the smell?"
Exactly.
So, and he was standing. I can still see that picture. When I came here to pastor, he comes driving up one day, and I said, I know you. And he said, "Yeah, you look pretty familiar, too."
That's right.
And so we got to talking, and he was in the 14th Military Police. And both of us were in the 14th Military Police. So that's how we first met. He wasn't a believer. I wasn't a believer.
That's right.
Well, let me say, he might have been. He wasn't acting like one.
No, I wasn't.
So just saying. So, but that's where we go back, and then came here, and then all the stuff is history. And so that's who Bob is. And most of us know Bob and Rhonda, so we'll let him preach. And
well, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Well, I think I am. It depends on what God wants to do. It's not about me. That's what I told him. I said, I don't have to preach because it really isn't about me. But I really feel that there's somebody in here that's holding back that really does need to be prayed for healing. Now, I wouldn't say this if I didn't believe it. Now, whether you respond or not, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But there's somebody in here that's been going through a thing for a long time. And it's not getting really any better. And God wants to touch you, but you got to let Him do it.
Amen.
And if you're here and that's you and the Spirit's telling you to come up here, I want you to come up here and just let us pray for you. There's somebody here that's not been prayed for this morning that God wants to touch. Now, you can either let Him do it or not do it. That's totally between you and Him. But I'm telling you right now, the Spirit's telling me there's someone here that needs to be touched by God this morning. It's been dealing with this for a long time, and it's time to lay it down. God wants to touch your body and bring healing to it. It don't make any difference. If it's prostate cancer, it don't make any difference. To God, it doesn't. It could be a heart condition. It could be anything. But if you're here and you know the Spirit's talking to you, come forward. If not, we're going to move on in the Word.
Yeah.
Apparently, either I was wrong or somebody's being disobedient. That's just the way it is. Because, see, when the Spirit lays something on your heart, once you spoke it out and somebody doesn't respond, they're being disobedient to what the Holy Spirit asked them to do.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Well, today I'm going to be talking about a broken heart. This message is something we can all relate to. It affects all of us, no matter what background we have, no matter where we come from, no matter how old we are. And it can damage us emotionally. In Hosea chapter 1, we have a beautiful story in chapter 1 and 2. Of how Hosea feels. And then also in chapter 2, we see how God's heart is broken over His people. The word of the Lord in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam and Joash, king of Israel, the northern kingdom. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, whoever that is, and I can't say it right, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, call him Jerael, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jerael. And I put an end to the kingdom of Israel. And that day I will break Israel's vow in the valley of Jerael. Gomer deceived again and gave birth of a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her to Lo-Ruhama, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should no longer forgive them, yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord our God. There's no doubt that Hosea loved his wife, but she was an adulterous woman. You ever had your heart broken by a son, daughter? See, you have to care for somebody to have your heart broken. And it happens to all of us. You may have a broken heart today, this very moment. But God will allow things to come into our life. Like I'm getting ready to show you in chapter 2 of Hosea. And sometimes, you know what we do? We say it's the devil. It's the devil doing this. No, not all the time. God's doing it to draw you back to Him. You know, there's a word that we use in the church and that we use it very often, and it's called backslide. I've experienced that in my own life. I've experienced dryness. I've experienced the mountaintop, climbing the mountaintop, valley. And I want to experience more things of God. But you know what? It's not all been plushy stuff. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you go through a dry period. Just like what I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you in chapter 2, and then I'll keep going from there. I'm the most unorganized preacher you're ever going to hear. But let me tell you something. I believe the Spirit can take what the Word of God says and move on people's hearts. We've seen the kingdom of God at work here today just in the prayer time. I want you to know that. That's more important what was happening here than any message I could preach right now. In chapter 2, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, for I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and would make her bare as on the day she was born. I would make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children because they are children of adultery. The mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give them my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. This is God doing this. This is not the devil. This is God doing it to Israel. She will chase after her lovers, but will not catch them. She will look for them, but will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband at first. For then I was better off than now. She has no acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, where they were used for Baal. God was blessing them, and they were turning around and worshiping Baal. I'm going to say it because God gives me the authority to say it. Who are you worshiping when God blesses you? Are you worshiping God? Or is the blessing turning something into a hindrance to you that's drawing you away from God? That's what happened here. God was blessing them, but they were using it to worship Baal with. They were worshiping Baal. And yet God was blessing them. How many times do we put things before God? Let's see. Let's name some of them. We got our family sometimes we put before God. We got our wife sometimes we put before God. Sometimes we have our children we put before God. Sometimes we money we put before God. Our jobs. We can put all these things before God. We are no longer worshiping God at that point. There's something else on the throne. God that's supposed to be on the throne. I love my wife dearly. And I know that she loves me. But if you asked her right now, she would tell you that God is the number one. He's supposed to be number one. Therefore, I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take my wool, my linen, and tend to cover her nakedness. So now will I expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for days. She burned incense to Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers before she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. The valley of Achor really is the valley of trouble. You got troubles in your life? A door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. Hosea. I mean, picture this. You know what people say? Let me tell you something right now. You don't think preachers go through things? They do. They go through things with wayward kids sometimes. And it could be other things that they go through. I've experienced a son being in prison. That crushed me. I've experienced heartache and seeing people destroyed, basically almost destroying themselves, knowing that God wants to touch their lives and heal them. I've seen all these things. I've experienced these things. But God wants us to realize His heart. The best message a preacher can get is the one that God has experienced in His heart given to you. To give God's heart to you. We think today that we think today that the church is just this magnificent thing. We are the church. Let me tell you something. We're broken people. We're hurting people. But we have to admit that. God already knows it, but we have to admit it. You know, I remember the pastor last week talking about the young man that's over here at Walmart. And I remember talking to him this week, how it grabs his heart. He's showing him God's heart. He's showing him what God feels about that. So let me tell you something. We all go through things, but let me tell you something. Don't beat your preacher up. He may be going through something that God is revealing Himself to him about his own heart. Love him, just like He loves you. We need God to show every person in the church how He feels about the church. And you know what? We would change. Our worship would change. The way we interact with people would change. The way we pray would change. The way we read the Word would change. The way we live our lives would change if we had the heart of God. Amen. And you know what? We're supposed to have the heart of God. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. You even know who your neighbor is? But you're never going to love your neighbor if you don't love God first. Amen. You got to get the first part right to get the second part right. But He lured them. He took them out to the desert, to dry places. You ever been in a dry place? Come on now, let's get honest. You know you have. Sometime or another, you've been in a dry place in your spiritual walk. It's not the devil doing it to you. It's God. You ever felt hemmed in? Where He's just surrounded you? You know, the presence of God is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And it can happen at 3 o'clock in the morning. It could happen 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Or it could happen driving down the road where you just feel an overwhelming presence of God. And He's hemming you in. Because He knows that you're struggling spiritually. He knows that some of you You know, I can't vouch for you. I'm just telling you my story. I have backslidden before. And it's not very pleasant knowing that how I've broken God's heart. But I had to experience that to be able to help other people. If the church just beats the church and goes out, you know, we're pretty good inside of the walls. But let me tell you something. There's no such thing as Sunday religion. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Saturday. Every hour, on the hour, every minute of the day, intimate fellowship with Christ. Amen. That's what salvation is. I'm concerned. I'm greatly concerned. Our church, we pray for people, for the lost and those that are prodigal sons. They have a board that people come up and they put names on. And we pray over them on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night we pray over those people. Because we know that God's heart is broken for those people. We see the heart of God. John 3:16 says that. Everybody knows what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the what? That He gave His only what? To do what? Exactly. That is the heart of God. He don't want anybody to be lost. But you've got to get that place of brokenness in your heart where you're really going to pray for them. It's not just saying, Lord, I pray for such and such saving. No. I mean literally get in there and pray for them. Say, Lord, this person is lost and they're going to stand before You someday. And if they don't know You, they're going to be lost forever, eternity, for all eternity. There's no coming back from it. There's no going to be anything after someone dies that you're going to be able to pray them into heaven. It's over. So it's time for the church, we are the church, to go out and reach the lost, no matter what they look like, no matter what the race they are, no matter what religion they are, and share Christ with them. There's power in the gospel of Christ. There's power in it to save us. To look, you know what? I'm still being saved. I'm saved this morning. I'll be saved tomorrow morning. It's a continual process of me being saved. And there's somebody out there that you know, a family member or somebody that you know that you have contact with, maybe even somebody where you work at. And they're in a bad place. They're trying to find anything and everything to escape. You know, we see people, there's people committing suicide all over the place. We don't even hear of all of them. We just hear the ones that take massive lives with them. We don't hear of the single people that do it. I was talking to a young man yesterday, and he's tattooed up. And I noticed the difference between the tattoos that he had, and I knew that it had to be a story. So I said, tell me the story behind these. And he had, and it was scary looking stuff. He had demons on his arm, and looked like what man would give a vision of what Satan looks like on his arm. And he says, that's the dark places in my life. And I said, well, what's this one over here? And he says, that's a picture of the Bible and Gabriel and Jesus. That's the good things that happened in my life. But he said, you know what? Here about 3 or 4 months ago, I was about ready to take my life. And he said, I never prayed like I prayed before. And God kept me from taking my own life. Now, he's wearing this stuff on his arm here. And I said, brother, if I were you, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But I think, you know, everybody's got a story. That's a powerful story. But, you know, you got the demonic things all over your arm there. So, but I said, let the Spirit lead you on that. But I said, you know, I said, you have a story. Your story is powerful. You need to share that with people. You have a story, I've got a story. Israel has a story here of how over and over and over they fell into Baal worship or worshiping other gods when God was good to them. God is good to us. He loves us unconditionally. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad God's not up there with a hammer going, bam, boy, you're just out of here. Or, bam, lady, you're out of here. Or bam, child, you're out of here. No, He loves us. He loves us. But he's going to allow things to happen to us to get our attention. And we call him the devil. No, it's God moving in us. It's God trying to woo us back to him. To give us a door of hope. They went through the valley of Achor, which is the valley of trouble, to give them a door of hope. You ever been through troubles that just seem like they just pile up one after another, after another, after another? But yet it's God moving you closer to him. And it may take a while for you to acknowledge that it's him doing this. Because we don't, let me tell you something, we get a picture of God that he is a God of love, but he's also a God of emotions. He's a God of love. He's a God of hate. He hates. He hates sin. He's a God of forgiveness, redemption, a God of salvation. He's all these things. He has feelings. That's why his heart was broken over the state of Israel. He's brokenhearted over them, of the condition that they're in. And I wonder, just like when he looked over Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I'm weeping for you. You have no idea what you're getting ready to go through. You don't know the day of visitation. What I'm getting ready to do on a cross. You have no idea. And I wonder about us being the pride of Christ. I wonder if he's weeping over the church and the condition of the church and some people in the church. Let me tell you something. Everyone here makes up the church. Let me ask you something. Are you right with God this very moment? Are you right with God on every area of your life? Are you walking in obedience? Your love with God? He's on that place that where eternity is. He's built in there for that for him. Is he on that place? Is he ownership? Are you walking this Sunday thing, where you come to Sunday and think that you're just coming out of duty? You're really not coming to really worship God. I was talking to Nancy and she was talking about joy, and I agree with you, Nancy. It's spontaneous. It just happens. You can't manufacture joy. You can't go down to the dollar store and buy joy, the dish soap, and pour it all over you and be joyful. No. It's a joy that God gives you. Amen. Are you walking joyfully today? You walking in a place that maybe you've never been before. It can happen at any age where things change in your Christian walk. You're not walking as close as you did maybe 5 years ago, maybe 6 months ago, or maybe a week ago. You're not as close as you are, and you know it. God wants you to come back to him. He wants you to come back to him because he's not up there with these harsh words like the devil tries to beat us with this. He's alluring us with words of hope, of love. I am so glad that God loves me. You know, I'm not a work of perfect performance. I am a work in progress. God is always working. He's always loving, always working, always reaching. But where are you really at today, church? We're the bride of Christ. Did a wedding for my son yesterday. And as her father was bringing the bride down in that white gown, she looked beautiful. You know, someday that's going to be us. That's going to be us. But today, you know, I'm not one of these preachers that says, you know, if you don't do this today, you might not have another chance. What I'm saying is, are you right with God today, this moment? And if you're not right with him, you can get it right. He's here. The Spirit's here. to help you. Let me tell you something. The church loves beating the church up. A lot of times we don't respond because we think, well, you know, I'm in this position, you know, or I'm in this position, or I'm in this position. Let me tell you something. When it comes to God, He doesn't care. And the church shouldn't care who you are or what you may play the piano, or you may do other things in here, or you may not do anything, but He doesn't care. He doesn't care who's looking or who's watching. All He cares about you responding to the Holy Spirit that's at work.
Amen.
Okay. I'm done.
In the name of the Father, we pray. Amen.
You got it, brother. Yeah, if you say anything else, you got it.
Hey, you're supposed to say two more conclusions, brother.
No, brother, I'm done.
Yeah, you know, that's the idea. As I was thinking about God alluring that sinner, Israel, who had served the gods and all that stuff. That word alluring is interesting, isn't it? God is alluring us back to Himself. God is constantly at work to bring us to the center of our life, Jesus. Well, two things. Thank you. Challenging. Evaluate my life. Where am I at? Where are you wanting me to go? And how am I doing with the work of God in my life? So, he's a rookie. If you're going to bring that conclusion to the end, if you need to have, and I know Bob's waiting for me to do that because we tag team. I want you to come to the altar if you need Jesus to touch you. And by the way, one of the things as Bob was speaking, I thought, you know, there's sometimes in the presence of God comes on you for no reason at all, and you just have to pull over and just enjoy it. And that word alluring in the Greek literally means, and also in the Hebrew understanding, is God is pouring Himself on you that He might bring you to Himself. Think about that. God's pouring Himself on you so that He might bring you to Him. That's who God is. So we're going to stand together. Yeah, stand together. It makes it easier for you to come out and have an altar call. After all, we don't want to put any hindrance in the altar call. We want you to be free. So we're going to ask you to come forward. No music. Just this is us. This is the church. This is who we are. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. If there's something you need to take care of today, we want to take care of it with you. We want you to take care of it because by you taking care of it, you take care of some things in our own lives, right? So we want to invite you to come to the altar this morning. That's it. I've opened it. We invite you to come to the altar as I pause for a moment to give you the opportunity to obey God and to step out of your seat. I'm going to pause for a moment, kind of like an auction. We'll give you time to hear the voice of God, which you've already heard. Now we give you time from hearing the voice of God to react to the voice of God. Father, today is your day. Today, you are King. This moment in our heart and in our lives, you are King. You're first. You're our priority. And you reminded me as Bob was speaking and your Holy Spirit was moving that when someone asked me on Sunday, how you doing? And I just kind of go, I'm breathing. You remind me today that I'm doing more than breathing. I'm being filled. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And I'm full of you. And so I, challenged by the Holy Spirit in my life this morning, has been not to just do a half-lib answer to that question. So you might be shocked the next time you ask me that, what I will say. Because I come here because I need it. I come today to honor you, to glorify you, to magnificently magnify the name of Jesus. But I come here today for you to search my own heart. Every Sunday, Father God, as we speak, and you begin to impact my life through the study and the preparation and the ministry of preaching. Broken Word of God. I want to say today, we believe you. For those of us who have found ourselves in a black slidden state, we come to be saved. We come to be cleansed. We come to be healed. We come to be set free. We come to put ourselves back on that highway of salvation. To those of us dry, If it's you're alluring us to come to the deeper walks that you have for us, we give that over to you. Amen? But most of all, we come to hear from you. So be with the church today. And all the prayers that we've answered, that we sent to be answered, you have already heard and have spoken. You're not a God who needs to get on the computer and go to the internet and dialogue which prayer you're going to answer first. You've already got that right as we speak it. So be with Bob and Rhonda as they head home to the land of Nod, Alabama. Just be with them. Thank you for their lives. We miss them. We love them. And we worship you together. Give them a safe journey. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen.